Welcome to the Gas Street Podcast. Our vision as a church is to be light for the city.
We really hope you enjoy this message.
Well, good morning. If you'd like to bring your conversation to a close, that would be fantastic. My name is Nick Drake. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's fantastic to be speaking to you this morning on the third part of our Foundations series. Our Foundations series that we've been journeying through, looking at what it means for us as a church to be light for our city and beyond. And last week, Rachel spoke of three foundations for being someone who's fully committed, a member of this vision, bought into this vision, both feet in. She spoke on belonging and serving. And this week, our focus is on the third thing, giving. Giving is the focus of this final week of the Foundation series, and particularly financial giving. So this talk should be heard in the context of the previous two. And if you're a visitor or a guest, please do know that we talk about financial giving fairly regularly through the life of our church for two reasons. One, we want to be a church that engages with planned, prayerful giving rather than any kind of pressured giving. So that's why we talk about it often. And secondly, we talk about it because Jesus talked about our use of money and giving. And so whatever Jesus talks about, we want to pay attention to because we want to follow faithfully in his way as far as we can, both as individuals and as a community. And because discipleship that's faithful to Jesus is the answer to true life to the full that Jesus talks about. And both as an individual and as a community are flourishing before God. So that's why we talk about money and giving. And so today I want to unpack some of the biblical mindset that is needed for us to prayerfully consider what we give. And so I've called this talk Everything. Everything. So before I get to some scriptures, shall we quickly pray together? Let's pray for God to be speaking to us. Father God, we thank you already for this time together this morning. Whether in the room or online, across all our locations, Lord, we are one big family of you, worshiping you, gathered before you. And now our ears want to hear from you, from your word. We want to understand you better. So Holy Spirit, come, fill us. We want to be changed. We want our lives to be more in line with your design in Jesus. So come, Holy Spirit. Amen. So everything, here's why I've called the talk Everything. First of all, Psalm 24, verse 1. We're going to go through a few scriptures here, so you might want to follow it on the screen, but obviously you can in your own copy as well if you've got it with you. Psalm 24, 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters." Psalm 104, 24 goes on to say, "O Lord, how many are your works? In wisdom you've made them all. The earth is full of your possessions." And then in the New Testament, Hebrews 2, verse 10 says, "Everything belongs to God, and all things were created by his power." And finally, if we still haven't got the message, Haggai 2 verse 8 says it really clearly, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts." The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. I was thinking how to illustrate this headline point for our biblical mindset on our money, our use of money. And I went straight away to the concept of pocket money. Pocket money. You will be familiar with pocket money. Either you've received it at some point probably, or you give it yourself. And the irony is it empties your own pocket. It's not pocket money for the giver. But we have, Becky and I have four children. And so we do pocket money. Of course, these days it's on like a card. They each get their own like card, and we have to transfer money from our account to their account, and they then can spend that money. Now, we do it this way because we want our children to have freedom, to have ownership, to have choice what to do with the money we give each of them. As parents, we have chosen to entrust, rightly or wrongly, our money to them, to our children, to steward, to handle well. Now, some of our children, they choose to save it all up and store it all up and look at it every so often and check it's still there, yeah? Some of them spend it straight away. Anyone resonate with that? Anyone spend it straight away? They spend it straight away. In fact, some of them spend it before they've even got it. Anyone resonate with that? And they promise to pay us back. But it's all ours. It's all ours. In fact, everything in Becky and I, in our household, is ours. Everything. But of course, we talk about Noah's Lego collection, right? We put his name next to it. Or we talk about Joel's Xbox. And we even talk about Levi's sweets. But here's a secret. It's all ours. His sweets are mine. The Xbox, I can play on it. It's mine. It's our households, but we've chosen to call it theirs. We've chosen to call it theirs. The earth, are you getting it? The earth is the Lord's. Everything in it. Hebrews 2:10, everything belongs to God. So a biblical framework for our handling of money and our giving demands a change of mindset from a worldly mindset. It's part of the wider renewal of the mind that Jesus brings that Romans 12:2 talks about. A renewal of the mind, a change of mindset from mine to everything being God's. He is, first of all, the creator. This is what we need to understand. So right from the start, we're nothing without him. He creates out of nothing. That's the theological concept of creation. Out of nothing, he creates. Can anyone in this room do that? Create out of absolutely nothing? No. No human can do that. We're nothing without him. And then you come to salvation, to redemption in the middle of time, sending his son Jesus, the ultimate gift, the ultimate giving moment on the cross as we approach Easter time. Can anyone do that? Can anyone save us from our sin? From the repeated patterns of selfishness? Can anyone give their one and only son to die for us and be resurrected in the power of the Holy Spirit to save the world? No, only God can do that. And then finally, at the end of time, the theology tells us, the Bible tells us, restoration of all things, wiping away every tear that comes through the power of the Spirit through the cross. Can any human do that? Solve all the world's problems, wipe away every tear? No, only God can do the entire thing. Everything is his. We are nothing without him. This is the biblical witness from salvation, from sin, through to how we use the money he's given us. We operate in an economy of grace. That's another way to say this simply. An economy of grace. The economy of grace marked by a shift of understanding about our money and our lives, and our salvation, and our healing from mine to God's, from earned to given in grace. And here's the thing. Because it's his stuff, because it's his material things, everything is his, he cares what you and I do with his stuff. Now imagine you let out your flat or your house to someone on Airbnb and you came back and it was a bit trashed or something was slightly damaged, you'd be like, that's not right. You'd be really annoyed. Why? Because it's yours. It's your place. You care about your place. Or, I don't know if anyone's ever lent out something to a friend or a neighbor and it comes back not quite the same. Anyone ever done that? And you're like, that's not quite right. That was mine. Oh, that's a shame. I remember lending out my roof box to a member of our clergy here at Gastie, who will remain nameless, but I got his permission to name him, Mike. Mike, I lent him our roof box, and let's just say someone drove into a multi-story car park. Now, I have to make it clear that Mike and his household fully paid back, more than paid back, what had been damaged. But, you know, when it's your stuff, you care. You care how it's handled. One of my favorite stories on money and giving in Scripture is the story of the widow in Mark chapter 12. And I preached on this last time. It's called In the Bag. If you want to watch the whole sermon on that particular passage, go and watch it. But I've got one point relevant for today. The widow puts in two small coins, tiny amount in the treasure, in the temple offering. But Jesus loves it. His heart leaps when he sees her. Why? Because she gives everything to the one who holds everything. It's a small worldly amount, but it's everything. And so he loves that. But the point that's really relevant today from the passage is verse 41. It says that Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched. And watched. Now, I was thinking, why is that detail there? Why is Jesus sitting watching? Well, because everything is God's and God cares about his stuff. He cares about how we handle his stuff. So when we don't use money well to honor him, to worship him, to respond to him as part of our whole life response, he cares. Why? Because the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So to cash this out, giving financially is a concrete and specific way that we can show God how we're handling his stuff, what we have been given. It's a worship decision to give financially. It's a discipleship breakthrough threshold moment when we give financially. It fights against our own flesh, our own selfish desires to hold on to everything, to keep everything we can. It fights against that and propels us into freedom. That's one great way to give is to set up a regular giving moment, a standing order to the church, and not just the last bits of our money, but the first bits. I don't know if you've read any kind of financial management books from the world. They often talk about when you get your income in, pay yourself first. They often use this phrase. And what they mean is like invest in your future before anyone else takes the money, like put it into a pension or put it into some asset that grows. But that's not the biblical mandate. The biblical mandate is give to God first. Give to God first. So regular giving is a way to do this through standing order. That's what Becky and I do. We set up a standing order so that we can be sure that every month, the first sum of money that goes out from our account goes to church. We started it as students and the amounts changed, but we haven't stopped. And part of our ask as a community this year, as a leadership team, we're praying and asking for 50 new commitments to give regularly in that manner across all our locations as a church. Why? To enable us to serve the kingdom opportunities available to us in the city and beyond. And they need financial resourcing. It's a simple fact. It just is. All the information that you might need was in this brochure, if you've seen it or if you scan the QR code, and also in an email that went out to anyone who's part of the church this week with more of the details. But we're prayerfully asking for 50 new commitments to give regularly. And it's not unreasonable to expect out of a backdrop of, we realize our stats, we only have about 24% of our regular Sunday attendance across locations who give regularly. Only 24%. So what's clear is we can grow in our giving, right? It's just clear. We can definitely grow in our giving. Now, do also hear us. If you're struggling with money and with debt at the moment, please hear us. We want to support you in that first. And we have a CAP, a debt advice center that you can access, gastreet.church/loveyourneighbor, or come and grab me at the end. We'd love to support you with that. The second aspect of a biblical mindset on giving, let's move on. The second aspect is this, that our money is supposed to be used to partner with God for a bigger plan and purpose than our own horizon of our own life's purpose. Now, we know from the very start of Scripture, Genesis 1, 28, that we were made to partner with God. Like, that's how we were made, in three ways. First of all, we're made to work under His authority in obedience to Him. Secondly, therefore, we're created to work within His blessing, not outside of His blessing. And thirdly, we're invited and created to work alongside Him in the world, in His plans for the world, side by side, so to speak. And so if that's the calling on our lives, so it is the calling on our money. Our money goes to serve that partnership, that bigger purpose. When we give, the money contributes to a wider kingdom purpose. Again, an example from our own lives. When Becky and I were students, we formed this band, and some of you will have seen the pictures before, so I won't show them again. And we, our income only came from gigs. So we didn't have much income. Back in those days, you paid to play, right? You got your bus fare home and a bag of chips. That was about it. And so we would tour around the country playing in all these bars and stuff. But we did have some money coming in, but basically very little. And our church we went to at the time, we were about 21 years old, our church, it was in a big city in the UK, but it had a tiny room that it rented. It was so hot, so sweaty, it was tiny. It was really not good for much. And they did a giving talk like this one today. And I remember sitting there like you are as a 21-year-old, seeing this person at the front doing this talk, thinking, gosh, they look really old. And here I am. And I remember them doing this talk, and they said that we're raising money for a new building. We've got this vision for a much bigger building that we own to serve our city. Would you prayerfully consider giving? And me and Becky, at the end of the talk, we prayed together, and we asked the Lord, should we give this and how much should we give? And we got this sense of £100. And I don't know if you've ever had that like sick feeling that rises up and straight away. I was like, oh, goop. Like £100. Now to us, 21-year-olds doing these gigs, like that was huge amount. It is a big amount. Remember, it's 20 years ago as well. It's a huge amount to us. And I had this sick feeling straight away. But do you know what? When I walked forward at the end of that talk, when we walked forward together to drop it in, that commitment into the bucket, when we let go of it with our hands, the surprise of joy that came. It was like an avalanche, it was like a flood of release, of freedom, of worship. Because I'd realigned my life. We realigned our household's life with the Lord's plans and purposes. It was a sense of freedom, a sense of momentum, a sense of stepping into more worship, more discipleship. Now, within a year, we'd gone from that church. We'd moved on to somewhere else. And they went on to build these buildings and do amazing work. In fact, for the last 2 decades, blessing that city, ministering to many in need. So that one-off gift from us, it felt like a huge loss at the time if we have the mindset of everything's mine. But what a kingdom gain when we realize everything's His. I'm so glad that my £100 is in that building today. It's done far more than if I kept it. I wouldn't even know how I ended up spending it. Like, what would I tell you? I have no idea. But I know where it is today. And I know the Lord's multiplied it far more than any earthly investment would. And gosh, the opposite, if I hadn't put it in. Corrie ten Boom says this, I've held many things in my hands and I've lost them all. But whatever I've placed in God's hands, that I still possess. Proverbs 11, 25 says, those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. How exciting is it to ask, what will you do, God, with this money I give? It's not like any normal earthly investment. There's no like chart of projected results because God's off the chart. And there's no like, oh, well, we can't promise future from past. No, God is past, present, future. He never changes. He's always faithful. He's not going to waste even two small coins, everything that you put in. He's not going to waste. He'll multiply it and multiply it and multiply it. The joy of participating in the kingdom. And going back to our own children, that story of pocket money, kids, they sometimes come and talk to us about how they should spend the money, right? They sometimes come and talk to us. And so if one of them says to me, as this does happen, like we're at the, has anyone been to the Works in Selly Oak, for example? Yeah, the Works. And you know, we're in the Works and one of them might say, oh, should I spend my £15 on this squishy ball with glitter in it? Right, guys? I mean, the silence says it all. No, thank you, Rachel, no. Now, sometimes even on the opposite end of this, sometimes we've actually found we have to say to one of our children, it's okay to spend that money. Like, you're storing it all up, but what? Why? Like, what? No, you go ahead. Like, use it. Do it. We need to speak freedom, confidence, boldness into them. No, spend it. Spend it. Do it. Use that money. Don't just store it there. So our children's use of their money is done out of relationship with us as their mother and father. That's how this works. Our giving, our use of money, like our whole life, is designed to be done out of relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's designed to be done in a context of prayer. So again, our ask today to our church across all locations, going back to the one-off gift, is to give. We're hoping for one-off gifts of at least £100,000 or more. That's our prayer as a church. Why? Again, to enable us to serve the kingdom opportunities in this city and in our nation. Now, the point is, this is to be done in prayer, in relationship. It's not to be done or responded to in any kind of pressure. It's to be done in conversation with one another, with your Heavenly Father. Are you able to be someone who can contribute, if you're a member of our church, to those kind of one-off gifts in this season? Fourthly and finally, before we end with a quick video message from Tim and Rachel and hear from a few people who give within the congregation. Fourth thing about mindset giving, our giving propels us further into community. And this is so exciting. Rachel spoke last week about how we are in a cultural moment favoring individualization over community. By giving, we fight against that individualization and selfishness, and we step towards the selfless giving that Christ displays. Giving of ourselves in time and energy to bless others positions us into a biblical understanding of Christ-centered community. But also, not just time and energy, financial giving, we know from Scripture, is the third anchor of Christ-centered community. It's something that can't be avoided. It's right there in Acts 2, 42 to 47. As soon as the church is instituted at Pentecost, financial giving is one of the key anchors of the Christ-centered, outward-focused community. So, how's this work? Well, a consumerism mentality keeps us in only gaining joy, listen carefully, only gaining joy from what I think I can take credit for, right? We see something good, we go, oh, that was me. Hey, everyone, that was me. That was really good. That was me. I did that. That was great, right? A Christ-centered community has a mindset of, see that? That was us. That was us. So when good stuff happens in church, some of the stories in the magazine, some of the stories we've heard the last few weeks, it's not, oh, that's their story. No, that was us. That was us. When we hear that 105 youth went away on a weekend away a few weeks ago, were served, equipped, and empowered to follow Jesus. When we hear that over 100 students did the same last weekend away, we go, that was us. Like, I wasn't, you know, involved in it, but that was us. Or when we hear of the incredible work being done through Love Your Neighbor and our Gastry St. Luke's location, 65,000 meals provided last year, 400 households receiving food, 211 debts relieved, freedom released, we say, that was us. That was us. When I hear of thousands of women empowered and encouraged through the Orchard Ministry, I'm not there, I'm nothing to do, but I could say, that was us. You getting me? Like, that was us. Or when you give to Gastry, you're part of seeing every story of transformation, of meeting with Jesus. Say the baptisms, the 54 in November, our last baptisms alone. You can say, hey, seeing all these lives transform, not just the front-facing stuff on social media or in the room, but all the behind-the-scenes work of our staff team, making it happen, phoning people, doing all the operationalizing of it. Can't even say the word. You can say, that was us. Like, I'm part of that. I help make those transformed lives happen. We don't want to be in a position like our council. I don't know if you know, you will know, but one of the specifics of the cuts they've got to make, I was reading, is they're going to dim the streetlights. They're going to dim them down. Our vision is to be light for our city. We can't dim the lights. We can't dim the lights. Our vision is to shine the light of Jesus through every one of you. Everyone gets to play, everyone in, to shine the light of Christ that will never dim, that will never falter. This is us. This is what we get to be a part of. Boy, I don't want to miss out on that adventure. Do you? I don't want to miss out on that adventure, seeing what the God who is off the charts will do when we give our money to him. Our culture tells us to have FOMO, fear of missing out, about getting everything. But the Bible, you will have heard today, and you can do your own research, it tells us to have FOMO about giving. And before we watch the video, one final thing. Eugene Peterson, he says it like this. It is still the only thing worthy of our fear to get what we want, but to miss what God wants. That's been echoing around my heart and mind and prayer life has been preparing for this talk. Boy, I don't want to miss out on what God wants. I don't want to miss that. So I want to give. I want to join you all in giving of myself and my money to what God is doing through us as a church.
Thanks for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out.
If you want to find out more, visit our website, gastreet.org, or follow us on Instagram @gastreetchurch.